Yeah.
And that's what the prophets, I suppose, are witnessing if you look at Cyrus and Jeremiah when they're talking to Israel and saying of the judgments of God, it's all coming back to the law because they have the covenant. So everything comes back to the covenant, God's dealings with them.
That's right. That's a good point. You understand what he said? Basically, according to Deuteronomy 20, chapter 28, God already prophesied that the rain will stop if they are disobedient. So God was using a prophet to witness to his word coming true. Now, we got so many loose ends here, let me tie them up. I believe that God can make things bigger than himself and within his control because humans can. We tiny little humans have built ships bigger than us, buildings bigger than us. Have you ever stood on some big construction built by men? We are so tiny, and yet we could, and it's within control. So God can do anything he wants. But it will still all, of course, be in God's control, within the sphere of God. In answer to the question of God initiating that based on his word, then we ask the opposite question, where, can we get the scripture up again? Where Elijah prayed earnestly for the rain to stop. Now, if Elijah did not take the effort to pray, that the and had the power to stop the rain, then he might not have the power that he had. Now here's an interesting point. Elijah was not just a prophet. He was a successful prayerer. Can you see the point? His success in stopping the rain is a direct result of his success in prayer. Because he prayed, quote unquote, I use the word now, prayed true. And God says, Elijah, now you notice something happened. Something happened that day. How long did Elijah pray? Probably quite long. But one day, I believe one day in his prayer, God said, Elijah, I'll do as you say. And if you notice in 1 Kings 17, Elijah went to the king and said, there will be no rain. And then the last phrase says, except according to my word. Or unless I, he didn't say God. Unless I say so. Now, let's look at the exact words in 1 Kings chapter 17 on the success of his prayer. 1 Kings chapter 17. And these are his phrase in verse 1. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew. Wow, not even the dew. No rain these years, and look at the last phrase, except, not at God's word, except in my word, because God has given me the authority here. He said, I control the weather. Wow. Now, during that period of time, God actually gave to Elijah the switch button for the weather. Think about that. Elijah had prayed through so much. God says, Elijah, I'm not going to give you this. Of course, it's dangerous to give it to man. I mean, think about that. If God gives some of you to control the weather, we have funny weathers. Right? Near my house in Layton, we have snow in winter. But near some of your places, you have rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it's terrible. But he prayed through, and God sort of came to Elijah, the prophet, and says, here is the off and on switch for, for the for the Israelite weather. And Elijah said, unless I say so. Wow, that's authority. Now the point that we are getting at here is that he got it all through prayer. If he had not prayed, he would not have reached that level of authority. Now you and I know that it is scriptural to understand that there are levels of authority. And sometimes God does bring people to such level of authority that, you know, they are, quote unquote, if I can use these words, in the boardroom with God. I mean, you all understand what boardrooms are, or an exco, or committee meeting, or whatever it is, where the decisions are made. And so, once in a while, God invites someone who is faithful. Would you like to join our boardroom meeting? Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And there, you know, decisions are made of such magnitude. Long ago, we had one of the music pastor, and he's a full-time musician. And he's very famous out there in the secular world. He does all the things on TV and radio. So he's a very skillful musician. And so he told me how one day he was brought to a boardroom meeting with all these powerful people in Malaysia. And he says in the boardroom, they make decisions controlling billions of dollars. And here he was just earning probably about 100,000 or a few hundred thousand a year, sitting in the boardroom trembling, you know, because they're going to make decisions controlling millions and billions of dollars. And he was just specially invited to that. Can be a frightening experience because, you know, there's such power that is being a decision-making power that was being released. So imagine coming into God's boardroom for a moment of time. And God says, welcome to the boardroom. And there you're there. And God says, God is having these things being done. God turns to you and says, what do you think? Oh, I think nothing, Lord. I dare not think. Right. But God turns to you and says, you know, do you have any suggestions? Wow. And here, when you pray God, and you pray and spend time with God, sometimes, now God does not, no human, no matter how glorified, no matter how holy, and none of us can stand that kind of thing permanently because we all grow too proud. We all cannot handle in our fallen state, in our imperfect state, while we have a lot of imperfections in us, none of us can handle that kind of power and authority. But once in a while, you get a glimpse of it in certain areas. And so Elijah, I believe, was invited into that manner where God says, give you this authority in this time. And then can you imagine that? Since he has an off and on switch, no other human, no matter what they do from that time, can help. Let's say you have probably 7,000 other faithful people in Israel at that time who still worship Yahweh God. And one of them could be saying, oh God, we need water, we need rain. And the Holy Spirit would say to him, go and ask Elijah, he has the on and off switch now. He has such power at that time. So it's important for us as we flow with grace and favor to understand what Paul was talking about in flowing in the grace of God. And as God released the grace and favor upon our life, the key is to learn how to walk and allow the energy. It has to be energy from God. Now, in James chapter 5 verse 17, oops, can we get back to James chapter 5 verse 17? There's a little Greek word that I'd like to point out to. In James 5 verse 17, James 5 verse 17, it says, for the prayers, right, the fervent, earnest prayer. For Elijah was a man like passion as well, and he prayed earnestly, might not rain, he did not pray. And then he goes down, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one avails much. The word effectual and fervent is a mixture of two English words that makes it, you know, sound very stretched out. the effectual, fervent. Now, what other translations do you have? Effectual, fervent, okay. See, the English is trying to convey a phrase that now, the Greek word for effectual fervent is the word energes, where we get the English word energy from. So in a sense, you could put the energetic prayer of a righteous man prevails much. So whatever it is, there is a spiritual energy flowing. And that energy is charging Elijah and flowing to Elijah. In a sense, for those of you who say God initiated it, in a sense, God initiated it because the energy came from him. But in a sense, it was Elijah because he has to release the energy in prayer. He could have stopped the flow. Yes, and God will give flow to somebody else. So Elijah also has to cooperate. And I do not know. Now, one of the things that you can find out when you meet Elijah in heaven is, Elijah, how long did it take you to pray? Take a good guess, you know. Some of you will say, well, a few days. Some of you say a few weeks. Some of you say a few months. I believe it probably was years. Years. He built up his momentum. He prayed and prayed and prayed. And as he gets nearer and nearer, the energy keeps flowing more and more. It may have taken him years. That's the fact. It could have been months. Yes, I acknowledge that. But it could also as well have been years. And it says he was a man of like passion, correct? Now, you and I know in most things, we humans slowly move into that. At first, you know, you move a little bit, and then move a little bit, and then you get more and more discipline, and more, and then the energy sort of saps and energizes you more and more. So, it came from God. The energy that was coming forth came from God. And this is where we need to realize when we move into grace and favor. There's a line that you have to draw in the sand. You never cross into the line that God did not ask you to cross until he has finished the works that are prepared beforehand. The best illustration to bring forth the truth is what I call the open door of grace and favor. There is such a thing spiritually called an open door. It could be an open door for ministry, an open door for your work, your promotion, or your business. It could be anything. Everything in the spiritual world has to do with doors and windows. Remember it says when you bring your tithes unto the Lord, the windows of heaven. And then there are open doors. What is an open door? Let's look very quickly through Paul's ministry. Now, remember, it applies both to ministry and to the business. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, when they finished the first missionary journey, and if you look at a map of their first missionary journey, you realize that their first missionary journey was a small little circular area. Then the second missionary went bigger. Third missionary journey went further. So they were slowly growing in their ability and faith. In Acts chapter 14, when they came back to Antioch church at the end of the first missionary journey, in verse 27-28, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. What were they saying? They were saying that every time they went preaching, the Jews were not so receptive, but the Gentiles flocked to them by the thousands. And God did wonderful works among the Gentiles. In other words, there was a flow when they reached the Gentiles. And every time the Jews persecuted them, they went to the Gentiles, they come flocking to hear the word. And they planted many churches. There was an open door. And in the book of Revelation chapter 3, to the church of Philippi, Jesus declared that he is the one who opens and closes doors. In verse Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. These things, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts,